the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Javad, peace be upon him.
Ya Javad ibn al-Raza, Ya Javad ibn al-Raza.
Let's look at the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 30th of Zilqada, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Javad, peace be upon him. The Imam Javad's political role. Dear friend, studying the historical documents and letters started by Imam Javad, peace be upon him, on one hand, and the attitudes held by the Abbasid authorities towards the Holy Imam, on the other, one can understand the Imam Javad, peace be upon him, was at the top of secret political and ideological essence who practiced his activities in secret and held a leading status with a deep impact on awakening the feeling of the people. These letters reveal not only the existence of the deep relationship between the Holy Imam and his companions and how the financial assistance was presented to him from different parts of the Muslim lands to cover his needs in performing his activities, but also the existence of the Holy Imam's followers and his secret cultural and political activity at that time. Indeed, the Abbasid authorities were watching the Holy Imam's activities and used different ways to hinder it and forbid it against spreading and affecting others. Hence, these letters reveal to us the continuation of this activity and the call in support of the Holy Family of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, the deepness of their effect, the influence of their ideological and political tendencies in the life of the people, in spite of the terror and dangers which surrounded them. Dear followers, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, you are with this episode of today's special on the occasion of martyrdom anniversary of Imam Javad.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the martyrdom of the ninth infallible Imam, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Jawad. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth infallible Imam, and he was really an exemplary personality in his time, especially in his period of imamate. As we know, his father, the eighth infallible Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Rida alayhi salam, was in Khorasan, and he was left together with the rest of the family in Medina. And at the time of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ruling Abbasid authority intended to test him whether to find that such a child, would be able to answer questions or not, and in order to mislead him, they tried hard to appoint some people as teachers for him. However, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, because of being endowed with the power, with the divine grace of imamate, was much superior by far than all of those people who pretended to be his teachers. And in fact, nobody deserved such a post before him. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was tolerant regarding many things. So one of them was, was that his wife was a daughter of Ma'mun, who had poisoned and martyred his father, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. And in fact, being tolerant with such a wife was really a very important, praiseworthy trait of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Another one was that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was such a person who helped those people who were really in need of his assistance. And he was the most pious of all people in his own time. He always tried to guide the people to the right path and be kind to whoever went to him for receiving some help or grace. Thank you.
Holy Imam's martyrdom. When Ma'mun died, Mu'tasim ascended the throne. He, Mu'tasim, like his Abbasid ancestors, was worried about the leadership of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, and their political and scholarly status. Therefore, he exiled Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, from Medina to Baghdad in the year 219 AH. For fear of his popularity and extending his effect, he did this in order to draw the Holy Imam near the center of power and isolate him from practicing his political and scholarly role. Indeed, Imam Jawad alayhi salam was exiled to Baghdad from Medina and stayed in Baghdad until in the year 220 AH. When he was martyred by poisoning by his wife, Umm al-Fadl, at the instigation of the ruling Abbasid Caliph Mu'tasim. His short life lasted 25 years and some months, and was full of historical, ideological, and scholarly struggle and achievements. The Holy Imam, peace be upon him, was martyred in Baghdad in the year 220 AH, and was buried in the graveyard of Quraysh behind his grandfather, Imam Musa ibn Jafar, peace be upon him, the seventh Holy Imam, which was since then became famous as Qasim. We offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of such great personality, Imam Jawad, peace be upon him.
جبريل حاز اليوم جبريل حاز اليوم في العرش نادى هذا عمود الدين هذا عمود الدين أبكى العبادة هذا الجواب باب المراد باب المراد
You are with IRIB English Radio and today's special. Now we hear a short part about the struggle of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Jawad taught us a great lesson. The great lesson is that when faced with hypocritical and duplicitous powers, we should make an attempt to awaken people's awareness for fighting these powers. Like other infallible imams, Imam Jawad is a role model, leader, and an example to follow. The short life of this meritorious servant of Allah was spent on fighting against the unfaithful and rebellion. In his adolescence, he was appointed the leader of the Islamic nation, and in a few years, he went through a compact struggle against Allah's enemies such that he became unbearable for the enemies of Allah. hence they poisoned him, leading him to martyrdom, just as our other imams recorded a golden page in history. Through their endeavor for the sake of Allah, this noble imam, Imam Jawad, peace be upon him, also fulfilled in an important part of Islam's comprehensive struggle through his activism, and he taught us a great lesson. That great lesson is that when faced with hypocritical and duplicitous powers, we should make an attempt to awaken people's awareness for fighting these powers. If the enemy displaces hostility openly and bluntly and does not practice duplicity, it will be an easier task. But when the enemy is like Mamun Abbasi, who disguises as sacred and an advocate of Islam, it would be difficult for the people to recognize him. In our time and in all areas of history, those in power have always tried to resent to duplicity and hypocrisy once they fail in openly standing against the people.
Al-Imam al-Jawad represented a divine miracle. At a young age, at the age of 8, he assumed the leadership of the imamah. And through his knowledge, he mesmerized the world. A young boy in those famous Baghdad debates demonstrated that Allah chooses the imams of Ahlul Bayt, and that al-Muhammad, they carry the knowledge of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In all aspects, in theology, in Quranic studies, in Islamic law, Al-Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam presented and demonstrated his amazing knowledge in Islamic law in that famous debate between him and Yahya ibn Aktham, the high judge of the Islamic world. Yahya ibn Aktham asked the young boy, Al-Imam Al-Jawad, tell me about a pilgrim who's going on the pilgrimage to Mecca who hunted an animal. What's the penalty for that? He thought this young boy doesn't know anything in Islamic law. And Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam surprised Yahya ibn Aktham by mesmerizing him with a follow-up question. The Imam alayhi salam basically was telling him, your question is too general, be more specific. So the Imam offers this follow-up question. The Imam alayhi salam tells him, tell me, where did he hunt the animal? Was it in the haram area around Mecca, or was it outside of that? The animal that he killed, was it a small animal? Was it a big animal? Was it a bird, or was it another type of animal? Did he know that hunting while in the state of ihram is haram, or he did not know? Was it his first time hunting, or second or third time, meaning it's a repeated offense? Was it during the day, or was it at night? The one who hunted, was he a young person or was he an elderly person? Was he a free man or was he a slave? And he kept bombarding him with question after question. Yahya ibn Aktham was dumbfounded. He's the top scholar of his time, but he was dumbfounded. He lowered his head out of shame. I don't know the answer to these questions. And Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam teaches us to master Islamic law. Let us educate ourselves and be inspired by the knowledge of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. And let's also educate our youngsters. When you're thinking about Islamic knowledge and seminary classes, don't only think about yourself and your generation, even your youngsters. Even if I have children, I need to have them start on this journey. Remember, your Imam, al-Imam al-Jawad, was only 8 years old when he assumed the leadership of imamah. Believe in our youngsters. We can inspire them with divine knowledge.
Ya Abu Ja'far, Ya Muhammad ibn Ali, Ayyuha al-Saghiy al-Jawad, Ya Ibn Rasulullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much to join us till this time of today's special. That was all for today's special. Again, we offer our condolences on the anniversary of Imam Jawad's martyrdom. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and our heartfelt condolences to you all on the sad martyrdom anniversary of the Prophet's ninth infallible successor, Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him, whose life was cut short in the prime of youth. We now present you a saying from this repository of divine wisdom. To show a matter before preparing for it properly is spoiling it.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we would like to send our condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, and to the followers of the Imam alayhi salam, and to all of mankind essentially on this the death anniversary, on the reported death anniversary of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, the ninth holy Imam, the youngest of the Imams. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of this Imam, to hasten the reappearance of our Mawla Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, and also to grant us the opportunity to visit the resting place of the Imam in Baghdad, in Kazamiya. And by doing so, we also get the privilege of visiting his grandfather, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, Bab al-Hawaij. So this being the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Jawad alayhi salam, it was seen fit to mention a very beautiful tradition from the Imam alayhi salam himself. The tradition is, in terms of the literal meaning of it, quite clear. But what it actually entails in reality is something completely different. Do we actually understand what the Imam is trying to say here? But it does show the interconnected relationship between actions and our own lives. That if we do certain things, certain results will occur. Again, as we know, the world is based on the principle of causality, and at times not always, that when we do something that is seen to be metaphysical, it does obviously then have a physical consequence, and vice versa. So in this tradition, the Imam alayhi salam says that the coming or the arriving of a person's death is more prevalent in terms of his sins and his acts of disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the arriving of his natural, or that the time of his death, bil ajal, any of the time of his death, right? So this is one of the things, that because of your sins, death will come to you quicker than the time that is ordained for you. So again, we see this relationship. And the second part, the Imam says that, and by means of the goodness and good acts that a person does in his life, it is far better than a long life that has no benefit or has no results in it. So here we see two things, that living a good life, even if it's short, must be equivalent with good deeds. And even living a long life, right, it has no benefit if no good deeds are there. And even then, the death that is ordained to us will come faster with the result of our own actions, our own misdeeds, evil deeds and sins that we perform in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until our next episode, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first segment, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verse 33 of Surah Al-Ahzab, recited by Sheikh Abdul Nasser Harak, the Egyptian reciter.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. الزكاة وأطعنا الله ورسوله ولا تبرجنا تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وأقمنا الصلاة وآتينا الزكاة وأطعنا الله ورسوله إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verse 33 of Surah Al-Ahzab, recited by Sheikh Abdul Nasser Harak, the Egyptian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This beautiful recitation and this beautiful verse. This is the verse of Tatheer, purification. At the beginning of this verse, God is talking about the wives of the Prophet and how they should not leave their houses while they are showing their ornaments and in a way that is, you know, against morality. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Like in the time of the pagan Arabia, in the time of ignorance, where women, you know, they were not very careful about their hijab and their behavior, and they were like,
They tried to stand out.
They didn't have chastity and modesty that much. But now that Islam has come, they have to make sure that they obey Prophet and God, which in this verse God is saying that you should not show your ornaments, your finery. Okay? And then the second part of this verse, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ. God is commanding the wives of the Prophet to uphold prayer, to give zakat, and to obey the Prophet. Obeying the Prophet is tantamount to obeying God.
Yes.
Because how else would you want to obey God if you can't, if you don't obey the Messenger of God? Okay? Because he is, by obeying the Messenger of God, you have proven your obedience to God. The third part of this verse is about the Ahlul Bayt. It's no longer about the wives of the Prophet. And all Muslims, no matter what their sect is, they believe that this part of the verse has been revealed in honor of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet.
These five
infallibles that lived at the same time. And of course, their descendants, the nine other imams that came after. Yeah. The nine other imams that came after Imam Hussein, the third Imam.
And would you name them?
were Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Lady Fatima Zahra, Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein.
These are five.
Yeah, we have the hadith of the cloak. All Muslims, they have written this in history. Yeah.
Hadith of Kisa,
where they all went under the cloak, and then Prophet prayed to Allah to purify my family, and then this verse was revealed, and yeah, they were purified from anything that's bad or impure,
of any
or
kind,
evil, any kind, physical, spiritual, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they were completely purified.
Now, if you agree, let's talk about the tajweed points, brother.
Yes, this verse has many tajweed points. So the first one that I'd like to talk about is the ra, tafkhim and tarqiq of ra. We have both tafkhim and tarqiq of ra in this verse. The first one is waqarna. Waqarna. The ra has tafkhim. It has to be pronounced with tafkhim. Why? Because it's sakin.
Yeah, it is preceded by
a letter with
a fatha.
Yeah. So normally, under normal circumstances, ra that has a fatha or dhamma has to be pronounced with tafkhim.
We mean thickly.
With thickness, yes. If it has a kasra, it should be pronounced with tarqiq, with
or
thinness. But whenever it's sakin, we have to look at the previous letter most of the time. Sometimes we have to look at the following letter. Okay?
Yes.
And that is what determines the tafkhim or tarqiq. So here we could see that before the ra sakina, there is a letter with fatha. So we have to pronounce the ra with tafkhim
or thickness.
وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرَّجْنَا. The ra of tabarrajna again has tafkhim because the ra has a
fatha actually.
Yeah, here it's the common cause of tafkhim, which is fatha and dhamma. Here we have a fatha. Tabarrajna, tabarrujal. Again, we have a dhamma.
Again, we have dhamma.
Tabarrujal jahiliyatil ula.
The ra should be pronounced with the full mouth again.
With the full mouth, exactly. وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ رَسُولَ. One thing you have to remember is that the tafkhim of ra and the letters of isti'la is different. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't think that they're the same. The letters of isti'la, they have pharyngealization.
Yes.
We have isti'la, we have the raising of the root of the tongue for them.
And different levels.
But they all have the raising of the root of the tongue.
Yes.
But for ra, the tafkhim of ra, we don't have the raising of the root of the tongue. In other words, we should not give too much tafkhim to the ra as if it's a letter of isti'la. For example, if you say waqarna, is that correct? وَقَرُّنَا. That's too much tafkhim. وَقَرُّنَا. Or تَبَرُّجَل. تَبَرُّجَل. وَلَا تَبَرُّجْنَا. تَبَرُّجْنَا.
Yeah, the body of the tongue goes up, actually, somehow.
Yeah, just the back of the tongue goes up. We have the velarization.
Yeah, not roots.
Ra. We don't have ra. Ra. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is the difference between letters of isti'la and
ra, which is actually a letter of istifat.
Istifat, exactly. But it's pronounced with tafkhim sometimes, most of the time, actually.
Yes.
And we can see. So, what are the letters of tarqiq, the ra's that are pronounced with tarqiq in this verse? We have, the first one is yuridullah.
Yuridullah.
See, it's thinner than ra. Ra, ri.
Practically,
the place of articulation is the same, but
mm-hmm.
the movement of the tongue is different. The manner of articulation is different. لِيُثِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجِسَ. Again, we have الرِّجِسَ. Ra has tarqiq.
Practically, we can say we pronounce it with with an empty mouth.
Yeah. And the tongue is going
down.
It's not going upward.
Yeah.
عَنْكُمُ الرِّجِسَ. And another point is that you should not trill ra. Okay, if you say عَنْكُمُ الرِّجِسَ.
Without takrir.
Without takrir. That's too much takrir, yeah.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Kitabullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Whenever you recite the Quran, you should seek refuge in God from Satan, who is rejected. So this ayah is the reason why reciters of the Quran always start first with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We have to be especially asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for refuge when we read the Quran. And also in a similar way, whenever you want to do something great, something very special, so you need to be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very special way for refuge. And for all our life, we should be always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us refuge. You know, we say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرَّ مَا خَلَقَ. We say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. We have two surah, the last two chapters of the Quran, and they are not only for the people who want to recite the Quran. Those are for all people in all circumstances. So we should always be careful and alert. But when you want to do something really good, when you want to do something really helpful, beneficial, something very blessed, that is actually when you are to be more careful, because Shaitan would be trying to stop people doing good things. And if something great is going to happen, Shaitan is more active there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always cover us with His protection and keep us in His refuge, protected from Shaitan and our own soul, which is commanding to do bad things.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. كل عصاه
السلام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام.
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about this part of glorious supplication, Kumail. Allahumma ghafir li adh-dhunub allati tahtiku al-'isam. Forgive me those sins which tear apart safeguards. So we concluded this part of the phrase probably is referring to those kinds of sins which the Holy Quran says in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhauna anhu. If you avoid the heinous sins that you are forbidden. We also talked about the inauspicious consequences of committing sins. And now let's have a closer look at each of them separately. The great narrator of traditions, Sheikh Sadur, in his Ma'ani al-Akhbar, has narrated a very important tradition from Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam on the inauspicious signs of sins. Part of the tradition explains that part of Dua al-Kumail where all of the phrases begin with Allahumma ghfir li adh-dhunub allati. O Allah, forgive me those sins that. So, after this, we'll talk about these phrases more, but about these parts. Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam says, the sins that tear off human reverence are drinking intoxicants, gambling, useless act and speech for making people laugh, reference to people's deficiencies, and accompanying the alleged sinners. Now let's have a closer look at each of these sins. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, Imam Rida, and Imam Jawad alayhim as-salam have regarded drinking intoxicants as a major sin. The great Eastern and Western scientists have proven that drinking intoxicants has harmful effects on the brain and even on the stomach, liver, and heart. Sometimes the resulting diseases are impossible to cure and the drinker is doomed to death. So, the wine bottle is a very dangerous and harmful enemy to human beings and an impure and foul thing. The Holy Quran has considered drinking intoxicants as impure and filthy and has called it the act of Satan. Quran also contains that the harm the intoxicants have is more than the benefits. Allah has made it unlawful for all people because of its harmful effects, and He would punish the drinkers severely in this world and hereafter, except if the drinker repents. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has cursed 10 people in relation to the intoxicant liquid. The one who plants the tree for it, the one who nurtures the tree, the one who extracts the grape or other fruits for it, the one who has drunk it, the one who is the cupbearer, and the one who has delivered it with his animal, or merkab, the one who has taken it from the porter, the one who has sold it, and the one who has bought it, and at last, the one who has consumed the money earned in this way. Of course, these are all on the condition that the aim and intention of the one is the usage and drinking of these intoxicants.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I
seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you, begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
In another tradition, it is said, يأتي شارب الخمر يوم القيامة مسود وجهه. And hereafter, the intoxicant drinker enters the scene of resurrection with his face black, مدلعاً لسانه, his mouth crooked, يسيل لعابه على صدري, and his tongue out of his mouth. And he cries from thirst. He drinks from a well into which the impurity of the adulterers is poured. In this regard, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, drinking intoxicants equals idolization. And the Imams have called the one who drinks a disbeliever in the day of resurrection. Let's put an end to our discussion regarding this sin with this tradition from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. من شرب الخمر بعدما حرمها الله على لساني فليس بأهل أن يزوج إذا خطب ولا يشفع إذا شفع. The one who drinks wine after Allah has announced its prohibition to me does not deserve a positive response to his request. The intercession of him is not accepted. ولا يصدق إذا حدث ولا يؤتمن على أمانه. His speech is unacceptable, and he is not a trustee. And the one who gives him something in his trust, knowing that he is the drinker of wine, there is no guarantee for it from Allah. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of The Lantern here on IRIB English Radio. One of the reoccurring themes within the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the luminous verses of the Quran is the theme and topic regarding forgiveness and all its derivatives. With that said, let's listen to a short and interesting story regarding this matter, and we're going to be right back, so stay with the lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends of this program, Lantern, so welcome. We have an interesting story for today, so let's see what's the title. True Forgiveness. Yes, that's the title of today's story. True forgiveness involves forgetting, letting it go, and moving on. While I was away on a business trip once, I received a call from one of my managers who wanted to resign because of how he was being criticized by his immediate superior. I asked him to hold off